to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Today is Mother's Day. We do just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. It's a special day to remember our moms and everything that they've done for us. This is normally a tough day for many people, a day of mixed emotions for many people. For some people, it'll be a pleasant day, those fortunate enough to be able to spend time with or talk with your mom or someone who's been a motherly influence in your life. For others, the day may not be so pleasant because our mothers are not around for us to give a hug and say thank you. But no matter what the reality is in your life this morning, it is a day we can praise God for the gift He bestowed to us in the form of our mothers. Amen. As I was preparing for today, and you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day are always tough days to prepare sermons for, because there are a lot of mixed things that go on, you know. And, you know, it's not like Easter. Easter's easy. Christmas is easy. Amen. You know, those are the ones that just right in the sweet spot. Some, you know, it's just sitting on the tee for you to hit. Mother's Day and Father's Day are just tough. And as I was preparing for today and looking at what the Lord would have me to share today, looking at some of the mothers we see in the Word of God, looking at their lives and taking a glimpse of what the Word shares with us concerning them, it's plain to see that being a mom has always been a tough challenge. Amen? Being a mom is tough. Being a dad is tough. Parenting, as I've told people, as I've counseled people, parenting isn't for wimps.
Amen.
Amen? It's tough. And so, as I was looking at here, you know, in Exodus chapter 2, which we'll get here, you know, it talks about Moses and his birth and what happened. But the thing that I see here is what is I want to talk about today is one of the first things being a mother is it takes courage. Amen? James Dobson said, "It is not uncommon for a mother particularly to feel overwhelmed by the complexity of her parental assignment. For each child she raises, she is the primary protector of his health, education, intellect, personality, character, and emotional stability. She must serve as a physician, a nurse, a psychologist, a teacher, minister, cook, and policeman. All of them combined." Amen? Takes courage to do that. That's a challenge. Everyone faces pressures and situations that come into our lives each and every day. Some days there are disappointments, some days there are difficulties, and there's frustrations, and there's fears. And many times it becomes about survival just to make it through the day. I'm sure many moms look back, and some with younger children can relate to that. Amen? That it was just, once you put them to bed, it was like, whew, made it through another day. Amen? There are times when you just have to endure things for a season. It takes courage to get up each day and face the challenges that come with the title mom. In the Word of God, we see several examples of godly, courageous women. Here in Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 2, in verse 1, and 2, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Exodus 2, 1 and 2 says, "Now a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and gave birth to a son, and when she saw that he was especially beautiful and healthy, she hid him for 3 months to protect him from the Egyptians. Here in Exodus chapter 2, we see a lady who's first mentioned in the Bible doesn't even record her name. It's not until chapter 6 that we actually get to know that her name is Jochebed. When we read the account where she was willing to defy the orders of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to protect her son. We see that here in Exodus chapter 2. If you remember in the account in the book of Exodus, the new Pharaoh had risen to power, and he became concerned that the Israelites had become way too powerful, and he said if they decide to, they can side with our enemies and come against us. So he ordered the midwives that were there to kill all the firstborn males, and they said, now the Lord told them not to do that. And they said, well, these women aren't like the Egyptian women. They're already done having a baby before we ever get there. So then it was like he wanted to get rid of them another way. He's supposed to take them and throw them into the river and get rid of them. Amen. Kill them all. So these women had a choice to make. Here in Exodus chapter 2, we see that Jochebed and her husband decided we're not going to do what Pharaoh says we're supposed to do. That took courage. Amen? Just think about how she felt when she discovered she was pregnant. She was going to have a child at a time like this. I can imagine she prayed to God that she could have a girl instead of a boy. Amen? I'm sure she probably had some sleepless nights as the baby was growing and as the time drew near for her to give birth. We know from the Word of God that she already had two children, Miriam and Aaron. Aaron, we know, was 3 years older from the Word. He was 3 years older than Moses, so he was still a little toddler. Miriam, by the account that we read, she must have been older. She might even have been a teenager, or 10 or 12 or so, because of what happened. So it wasn't her first child. She was already a mother. She was already raising kids. And here comes this pregnancy in the midst of this decree from Pharaoh. And when the child's born, she looked upon him, and it says she saw that he was beautiful and that he was healthy. And that's what every mom wants, right? I mean, every mom thinks their baby's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. But when the baby came, it was a little boy, a perfect little boy. And in those moments after birth, she made a courageous decision. She would not let the baby be taken. She was going to hide the baby. And she did so for 3 months. And when it became impossible to hide him anymore, she had a plan. And I would think she had a plan before the baby was ever born. Amen? Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, she had to be living those 3 months under a tremendous amount of stress. Amen? There were all kinds of enemies that would come against this little baby. There were societal enemies. There was a risk from society, from their neighbors, from their family. At any moment, someone could have ratted her out or let it slip that they had a baby boy. That would have caused some issues. Society in general was a danger to the child. Sounds about like today. Amen? I mean, in the society that we live in today, our children and grandchildren face a lot of dangers. There's peer pressure. There's social media.
Yeah.
Amen? Video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't have Elmer Fudd pointing a gun at a rabbit, but we got kids playing Call of Duty and Mortal Kombat and all these bloody, violent games where they're killing people, cutting people's heads off. But nothing said about that. Because there's money to be made.
Yep.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
There's no money to be made for Elmer Fudd. There's television, there's the internet, there's all kinds of dangers. A mother is always watching and looking out to protect her children. There was imminent danger from the ruling powers of the government who would have taken the life of the child if he had been discovered. Even though they knew the cost, Moses' parents were willing to do what needed to be done to see their child survive. Amen. We need mothers, actually parents today, who are not afraid to stand up and say to society and to the government that they're not the ones that are going to teach our children about morality. They're not the ones who are going to say what's right and wrong. They're not the ones that's going to say what's acceptable.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We need parents and mothers that raise their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Teach them that they're not just a happenstance, that they're not the product of evolution and natural selection. Know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God has a purpose and a plan for their life.
Yes.
Amen? We need moms and parents who instill that in their children.
Yes.
It takes courage to do that. Amen? To go against the norm. Amen? Exodus chapter 2 there in verse 3 and 4. It says, but when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket or a chest made of papyrus reeds and covered it with tar and pitch, making it waterproof. Then she put the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile, and his sister Miriam stood some distance away to find out what would happen to him. There are those moms who are known as OPPs, overprotective parents. My wife was known as one of them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our OPMs, overprotective moms. Watching out for your children, raising them. There were times when we told our children, you can't hang out with them anymore. But they're my friends. We go to church together. Sorry.
Yep.
Can't hang out with them anymore. Takes courage. It's not always easy. You can't be your child's friend and their buddy all the time. Amen. You are their parent. I'm not talking to anybody here. I'm talking to the people that are listening. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There's coming a time when you can hide them no longer.
That's good.
You have to release them to a world with dangers all around. You need to, by that point in time, have instilled in them the things that God has instructed you to instill in them. Amen? They're going to go to school. They're going to go to the playground. They're going to play with the neighbor kids. They're going to be around people that don't believe like you believe and act like you act. Amen? Just like Jochebed, it took faith. She did everything she could in the natural, but eventually she just had to trust God. Amen? We see courageous moms, but we also see moms filled with faith in the Bible. And I believe she had to have faith to do everything that she did and place him out there in the reeds. And then she had Miriam stand by and say, look out and see what's going to happen. I believe she already knew what was going to happen. Because it was all, as you read through this account, it was kind of planned out. It had been rehearsed. What Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter. Amen? I believe she developed the plan. Said, well, where do you get that? Well, just read through the account. Just think about how it just didn't happen. It wasn't just a happenstance, as we talked about now, a coinky dink. Amen? If you're a child of God, you shouldn't believe in coincidences. They're divine appointments. Amen? God brings people into your life. God puts you in places. God takes you out of places. It wasn't just a coincidence. Amen? God wants to be there and watch over you and protect you. He wants to be there and watch over you and protect over your children. So Jochebed knew that she couldn't hide him any longer because he was getting too big. Maybe his voice was getting too much to where they could hear a baby crying. So she gets this basket, she gets it all prepared, makes it waterproof, takes it out and places it in the reed so it wouldn't float away. Amen? So it's kind of stuck right there. She didn't know what the end result was going to be, but I believe she had faith that God was going to work it out.
Amen.
Amen? She placed him in dangerous waters, the word says. Amen? She looked past the situation and the circumstances as they related to her son, and she had to have the utmost faith that God was going to work something out. Hallelujah. I don't believe this is something that just happened one morning. I believe she'd been contemplating this. She'd been thinking about this. She prepared for this. She did all she could in the natural and left everything else up to God. And that's all we can do. That's all you as a mom can do. Do everything you can in the natural. Do everything you can that the Word tells you to do, and then you just have to trust God. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody doing okay this morning?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. She had faith. She hoped things were going to work out, but she had faith that they were going to work out. Amen? She prepared that basket. She put it there where she knew that somebody was going to see it. Somebody in particular. Amen? Warren Wiersbe said this, "Faith is not just blind optimism or a manufactured hope-so feeling. Rather, faith is our total response to what God has revealed to us in His Word. God speaks and we hear His Word. We trust His Word and we act on His Word." The thing is, Jochebed didn't have the Word. Her son is the one who penned the first five books of the Old Testament. Amen? But I believe what she did have was she had heard stories about Abraham and his faith. And she had heard stories about Isaac and about Jacob and about all their ancestors and how God had worked in their life and how God had done things in their life. Romans 4:21 says, "Abraham was not weak in faith, but being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He had promised." For God was well able to do what He had promised. Amen? The children of Israel knew about Abraham. They were taught about Abraham. Amen? And I believe she knew that if she had faith in God, that her faith would be rewarded just like Abraham's faith was rewarded. And Sarah's faith was rewarded. Amen? She had to develop her faith from somewhere. She heard about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Faith in God is faith that is real. Faith that has power. Faith that results in changed lives. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. One through five, the Amplified Version once again, says, "Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, favor, and spiritual blessing, mercy and heart peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I worship with a pure conscience, in the spirit of my fathers, when without ceasing I remember you day or night and day in my prayers, and when, as I recall your tears, I yearn to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also." Glory to God. Here we see the Apostle Paul reflecting upon Timothy's life. He's impressed with Timothy and his faith. Timothy had stepped into the role of a pastor. He had assumed leadership, and Paul seen great things in him. Yet Paul didn't forget all that went into making Timothy the man of faith that he was. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now persuaded, now lives in you also. What went into Timothy was directly responsible for how Timothy turned out. Amen? It was a direct result. People say, "Oh, your kids, You're lucky your kids just grew up that way. It wasn't luck. It was my wife getting up every morning and pouring into them and having devotions with them every morning while I was at work. She was having devotions with them every morning and praying with them before they went to school. Amen. Constantly reminding them. It was us taking them to church whether they wanted to go or not.
Amen.
Get up and get in the car. Amen. Home from college, I don't care if you were up till 4 o'clock. You better be at church at 10:30, dude. Amen. It's just the way it was. Oh, you were just lucky. No, luck had nothing to do with it. It had everything to do with purpose. Amen. Jim and Linda, everybody looks at their kids. Oh, what great kids they are. What great young men of God they are. This didn't happen by accident.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. What are you putting in to your children? It's never too late to start and to start putting that into them. Amen? When they're young, get it in there. Get it in there. Hallelujah. How Timothy turned out was a direct result of how his mom and his grandmother had raised him. Amen? Paul says, that faith that's in you, that faith, that sincere faith was in your grandma, and then it was in your mom. And now it resides in you. Hallelujah. We have mothers and grandmothers here today who have lived a life of faith. The grandmothers have left a legacy for their children and their grandchildren to follow. The word unfeigned there means without hypocrisy. Amen? It's important as parents that you're practicing what you're preaching.
Amen.
You can't confuse your children by standing in church on Sunday morning and worshiping God and talking about how great God is, and then they see something totally different at home during the week.
That's right.
Just being brutally honest with you. I've seen it happen. Those children will tell. As a youth pastor, I heard all kinds of stories. All kinds of confessions. Amen? Well, my parents aren't the people you think they are. We need to be true to the word, true to our kids. Not saying we're not going to make mistakes and blow it, but be honest with them. Be forthright with them and say, hey, I blew it. Amen. Forgive me. Teach them about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, Paul goes on, this is the King James Version, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Did I get the wrong scripture? 2 Corinthians, or 2 Timothy 3, yeah, verse 14, I'm sorry, my wife's looking at me like I read the wrong scripture. I've done that before, wrote down the wrong one, typed the wrong one in, but no, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, the New American Standard says. Amen. Teach your children the word. Teach them faith. Help them to grow in their faith. Don't just say, this is just the way. way it is. Show them examples. Teach them how to believe God for things. Teach them how to pray. When God answers their prayer, point that out to them and show them what God has done in their life and what God's doing in their life and what God wants to do in their life. Amen? Instruct them. He says, know who you've learned it from and being convinced of, and because you've learned it as a child. Amen? That's why in all of our children's ministries, we have the passion to teach children the Word, no matter how young they are. Amen? Yes. Teach them the Word. Just get the Word into them.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Children need to know that God loves them. I know one of the things they always do with the babies back there, the toddlers, is show them the little mirror and say, look, when they see that, Jesus loves that. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Amen. Praise the Lord. This verse shed some insight into what shaped Timothy's life up to that point. He had been taught the scriptures as a child, and when the apostle Paul related the gospel of Christ to him and his mother and grandchildren, their hearts were fertile soil that it talks about in Mark chapter 4, that they were ready to receive the truth and they became children of God. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the scriptures. They knew about the scriptures concerning the coming Messiah. And when Paul preached Jesus to them, boom. Moms, you may never be the one to lead your child to Christ, but your job is to sow the Word, to sow the Word, to sow the Word. Amen? And then some teacher at Bible school or some Sunday school teacher or some youth pastor may lead him to Christ. But your job is to sow and to keep watering that and to keep watering it. Amen? Hallelujah. Back in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Verse 5 and 6 says, now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, which she normally did. And she, together with her maidens, walked along the river's bank. She saw the basket. Oh, what a coincidence. Among the reeds, and sent her maid to get it. And she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby was crying. And she took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. It didn't matter to her that it was a boy or what it was, or it was a Hebrew child. It says she took pity on him. I believe Jochebed, Moses' mother, had all along, she's seen her come down to the Nile to bathe, and she was familiar with that, and she was just relying upon the pity and the compassion that this, we don't know how old the Pharaoh's daughter was. She might have been a teenager. She might have been in her late teens, 20s. We don't know. But it says she's seen it, strategically placed. All right? Come on. It just wasn't a happenstance. Jochebed, I believe, she watched her. She seen where she walked. And she knew that she put Moses in that area by faith. And she put him there. She was going to see her. And she was just going to trust in the fact that here was a woman that was going to have pity. Because see, women react to babies different. Amen. Come on, guys, right? Women see babies and they're like, oh, it's so cute. She's so precious. And guys are like, oh, yeah, it's a baby. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's truth. And women just, they just swoon all over the baby, and they're just all, and their hearts are all, and guys are like, yeah, it's a baby. Diapers to change. Amen. We just view things differently. She knew that she was a woman, and she was going to have compassion and pity on that little baby because he was so cute. Amen. She knew that the king had decreed that all the baby boys be put to death, but she was counting that his daughter was going to see things differently. Even when she saved him, and when she said, as we see here in verse 7, it says, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, Miriam was hanging out close enough to see what was happening. Shall I go and call a wet nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Once again, don't name her at all. Just the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Hallelujah. I believe Miriam had been coached into what to say, because she immediately came and just, you want me to call a wet nurse for the child? I mean, most 12, 13, or however old she was, aren't just going to think that. Amen. She had been rehearsed, I believe, and I'm taking liberty here. Yes, Pastor Will, it's not chapter and verse, but let's just think about it. Amen. She had to be coached by her mom. This, when she brings the baby up and see what happens, and she go to her immediately. Amen. She didn't say anything about all. Are you going to keep him, or are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? She said, as soon as she said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, his sister said immediately, shall I go and call a wet nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. God, I thought of that. Amen. And so, she not only got to take care of Moses and raise him, we don't know how old he was when he went to live at Pharaoh's house, but she got paid for it. Amen? And I believe she used that time to instill in Moses that he was a Hebrew, that he was from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we see in Exodus 2, down in verse 11, it says, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews. So he knew, as he grew up in Pharaoh's house, that he was a Hebrew child, that his heritage was Hebrews. Amen. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word train there doesn't just mean to teach. It literally means to prepare for a contest. I believe Jochebed used that time to train Moses to know his heritage, to know where he came from, to know who God was. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She was a woman who was courageous. She was a woman of faith. She was also an influencer. Amen. True influence cannot be awarded, appointed, or assigned. It only comes from relationships, trust, and confidence that people develop in you. Amen? You can't influence people unless they have a relationship with you and they trust you.
Amen.
You can try to order people around, but until they know your heart, until they know that you have their best intentions at heart and what's best for them, it's going to be hard. Influence is all about function. It's not about position. Amen? You can be a leader and call yourself a leader, but if nobody's following you, you're not much of a leader.
Amen.
Amen? Jochebed did not have any position, but she certainly had influence upon her son during the time she was nursing him, before he went to live at the palace. He never forgot where he came from. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines influence as to affect or alter by indirect intangible means, to have an effect on the condition or development of. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, the New Living Translation says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up." Amen? You need to talk about the things of God. You need to talk about who God is. You need to talk about those things with your children. Amen? When you're on the road, when you're driving, when you're whatever you're doing. Amen? Praying. Hallelujah. Influencers can change the direction of your life, whether it's a good influence or a bad influence.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble." That's the New Living Translation. The Amplified version of Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks as a companion with wise men will be wise, but the companions of conceited, dull-witted fools are fools themselves and will experience harm." Amen. Moms, watch out who influences their children. Amen.
Amen.
It's like the CEO of a major company. Him and his wife were driving to visit her parents in her hometown. He'd never been there before. They pulled over to a gas station to get gas a few miles from her parents' house. This story took place a few years ago because the gas station attendant came out to the window. Don't happen anymore, amen? And he recognized the wife and said, "Wow, Sarah, it's been a long time. How have you been?" And they struck up a conversation and talked for quite a while. And the wife never bothered to introduce her husband. After filling up the gas and paying the attendant, the couple left the station. The husband was visibly upset as he asked her, "Do you mind telling me who that was?" She told him, "Oh, that was Johnny. He was an old boyfriend from school." Trying to regain some ground, the husband said, "What a loser. Just think, honey, you could have been married to a gas station attendant instead of a handsome CEO." To which his wife said, "Honey, if I would have married him, you would be the gas station attendant And he would have been a CEO. Amen? It's all about influence. It's all about the women in our lives, gentlemen. Amen? The biblical word translated mother into Hebrew is the word ame. And it means literally the bond of the family. The word also signifies a force that strengthens and holds things together. Amen. We can all relate to that, whether it's our wives, whether it's our moms, or whether it's those women in our life that are a motherly influence on us. And we'll close with this. When Robert Ingersoll, who advanced humanistic philosophy and scientific rationalism, he was known as the great agnostic in his heyday. There was a time when two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, the one said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out from under your Christianity, didn't he?" The other boy looked at him and said, "Nah, I don't think he did." Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand with my mother's God. That's true influence. Amen. Hallelujah. Today is a day to give thanks for our moms, those courageous, faith-filled influencers, whether by birth or association, have impacted all of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for this day that we can just come to celebrate our moms, those that have been mothers to us, whether they were our natural moms or not. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for those women that you've placed in our life, those courageous enough to speak into our life, those that demonstrated their faith and lived it out before us, those who influenced us to become the people that we are today, Lord. And Lord, my prayer is for each of these moms and those in their family, those listening to this podcast, Lord, that those moms, those who have been mothers, to those that weren't their children, Lord, I just pray that they would just have a blessed day today. Lord, that you would just bring to their remembrance the good times, the joys, Lord. Lord, maybe there's been some disappointments and some frustrations along the way, but Lord, I just pray that today that they just enjoy the day, enjoy their day. Lord, I just pray for your blessing upon them and pray that you just watch over them and protect them. Protect us all as we leave this place today. Loose your angels round about us to go before us and prepare the way. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for blessing us with those godly women that have influenced our lives. We ask these things and thank you for these things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are